So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Odyssey app. Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, I'm Kyle Madsen. That's James Hamm. He'll be in here in a second if you're watching on video. Hey, there he is. Hey, it's a short break. That's James Hamm. Joe Brazil on the ones and twos. We're hanging out with you until noon. Then we will hand it off to D'Lo and KC. And those guys will take you up to 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. Yeah, we were talking at the break about, and I want to get into the Kings because you brought up an intriguing name for them this offseason, but we were talking about the 49ers at the break and some of the moves they could make and how many good safeties are still available in free agency, like quality safeties. And the 49ers, of course, Jair Brown last year in his first full season as a starter didn't look great. Malik Mustafa damaged an ACL repair in the season finale that he had fixed, and it sounds like he's going to miss at least the first couple of weeks, maybe more. So the Niners have a little bit of a question mark at safety, and somebody asked, like, hey, why don't they just go get one of these awesome safeties that's still available, or one of these good safeties is still available in free agency? And I don't know. Like, I would love to ask a GM, hey, when there's just good players available, you have cap space. The 49ers have the second most cap space in the league right now.
Yeah.
They don't need to say, like, they don't need to be saving it for some massive move. Like, it's likely not going to happen. So I don't know why they don't just go throw $10 million at a safety and be like, yeah, hey, do you want to come play here for a year? I don't know if it's because they still believe in Jair Brown and Malik Mustafa as their safeties of the future, and they don't want to bring in anything that's going to mess up that dynamic, or if they just don't want to shell out the money. I have no idea why they wouldn't just go do that and say, hey, now we have another good player at this position. I don't know the logic behind that.
Yeah, it seems last year it was Justin Simmons that was just hanging out
there.
And you're like,
just
hey,
around.
Why don't you just go sign him? Like, he's really good. And, you know, he was coming off like a Pro Bowl and a bunch of, you know, AP, you know, like superstar seasons. Like, he was just available and didn't sign until really late in the offseason.
Yeah.
When he went to Atlanta. And, like, I think it just, it's always weird when you're watching these things play out and you're like, hey, why is that? Why are you not doing something?
I have, and I'm sure there's some reason for it, but I don't know it.
Well,
because
there's always, and
part of it might be that at this point in the calendar, there are free agents who are like, I've waited this long, I'll just go find something before camp.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do the off-season program.
I think there's also something too, like when you're, because the Kings went through this last season where you're like, hey, why don't you just sign Jay Crowder? And then when you did sign Jay Crowder, it's like, okay, now we see why you didn't sign Jay Crowder.
Sure, yeah.
And that's not a dig on Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder's just like physically had a really difficult season, and like he wasn't available for a lot of games, even though he wasn't barely playing. And, you know, again, the same with Doug McDermott. Why is Doug McDermott available the week before the season starts?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because he might not realistically be an NBA player. He can still shoot, but can he do anything else? And
right.
So
I want to take up a roster spot.
Yeah, that's why some of the time you're doing this, but other times when there are really good players that are sitting there, maybe they don't fit your scheme or something like that, but
yeah.
Sort of seem like you should be able to go out and get somebody.
Man, I would be a terrible NFL GM. I'd be so bad. Every guy, because I'm sure that that there are some players available, like Von Miller, for example. Von Miller's obviously going to go to the Hall of Fame probably very early on in his balloting process. And you see Von Miller available, and you're like, man, why don't you just, he could be a situational edge rusher, right? You can 15 times a game, he didn't go get the quarterback. Yeah, he can still do that. But there might be a level of decline in play that if, you know, you're grinding film every day and this is your job is pro scouting, that you just go, dude, the decline is he cannot do 15 snaps a game.
Yeah, he lost the fastball.
Yeah, he might give you five snaps a game, and they're not going to be super quality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I would just be like, nah, it's Von Miller, get him. How much does he want?
It's interesting, too, because like there's a discussion right now with the Knicks about how they handled the end of the season and how they like the conversation was their 15th roster spot was open late in the season. And they were wondering whether they should go try to find a young player that might be able to help them and might be able to play, or a veteran who might help work the locker room and be part of that.
Sure.
And so what they did is they went out and got PJ Tucker.
Yeah.
Because they chose the second path where it's like, hey, we need a veteran to maybe help us like tighten up some of the things that are happening behind the scenes, or to just be an adult in the room and another pro for people to go to and have conversations with and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that that's always part of it. Like the NFL, like there's a 53-man roster, which seems huge, but in a long 17-game season, it's not.
Yeah.
Like you start running out of depth, where the NBA is a little different.
Yeah.
Like you can clear roster spots. There are always young players hiding on a bench that you can either trade or you can waive or do, you know, whatever to open up roster spots.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just kind of an interesting dynamic.
That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil produces this program. It's the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. You brought up a really interesting name for the Kings. And at this point of the offseason, this is what this is just going to be, is just kind of fun, interesting names.
Yeah.
I have a name coming up that I would like the Kings to pursue, and then I have another one that they absolutely need to 100% stay away from at all costs.
Okay.
We'll get to that. But the name you brought up is not one I had even considered, and not one that I thought would even be available, but I would like you to explain.
Well, yeah. I mean, like at this point, there's a lot of chatter coming out of Nick out of New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's gotten weird. So there's this thing that happens in the NBA, and it happens in other leagues too, but it's usually something that starts to unfold really quickly after leading up to a trade deadline or leading up to an off season or right as the off season hits. And I think what we've seen right away is this weird backlash aimed at Karl-Anthony Towns.
Mm-hmm.
And like, again, I will tell you for years, I've not been a huge fan of Karl-Anthony Towns because there's like a paper trail with him especially his time in Minnesota, just things that happened that like made you feel a little uncomfortable and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But now here we are in this moment where the Knicks get bounced from the playoffs. And the first thing that happens is he gets blown to shreds by an article that comes out and
just brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. Really brutal and really strange, to be honest with you.
It feels real quick. It feels like this happens a lot when a team is going to tear something down, where it's the Press Box podcast with Brian Curtis. They call it the Now You Tell Us.
Yeah.
Like, hey, everything was good. Oh, the season went sideways. Well, actually.
Ugh. Well, this is why I'm in sideways.
Yeah. That story's ready.
Yeah. So Fred Katz and James Edwards III from The Athletic, and I'm going to point out a couple of things, right? So they wrote long form on the Knicks season ending. Mm-hmm. And I went through and counted while Kyle was trying to talk to me. I'm like, hang on a sec. 44 paragraphs into an article, they dropped in publicly, Knicks players made veiled comments all season about poor communication causing their inconsistencies. Behind the scenes, they and coaches expressed frustration with Towns' defensive habits, less concerned with his talent level and more with his process on that end. Too often, Towns executed incorrect coverages without communication why he did it. After it became a theme, players worried Towns didn't grasp the importance of the matter. The ability to constructively critique became a point of emphasis.
Oof.
Karl-Anthony Towns just got ran over by a New York City cab.
So I can't tell here. This is I want to get to the actual like substance of what was said, but
yeah,
I want to stick on the 44 paragraphs in part of this.
Yep,
that seems to me the lead.
Yeah, you didn't bury the lead. You buried the lead like 30 feet
and then built
down.
A building on top of it.
Yeah.
And then, this is what, so I can't, and I want your thoughts on this as somebody who covers a team. I can't tell if this is them just not recognizing what this is saying, which I don't think is the case. So I want to wipe that out because sometimes you'll do that. When I first started writing, I'd write a thing and an editor would be like, yo, you have to move this way up. The top. Like,
yeah,
you are
way up.
Missing the point of this. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's this. I don't think that would happen in The Athletic with two experienced writers. So I'm gonna move that off the table, which leaves two options. One, they heard this on like super background and were like, we need to put this in here, but we don't really want it to be like the number one
story.
Thing. So we're just going to bury it way down here. And, you know, if it comes to light, it comes to light. Or is this a, hey, we kind of heard this, but we heard some stuff kind of refuting it. So we're going to publish it, but we're just going to bury it way down here because we don't feel great about reporting it.
The aggregators always find it, though.
That's
like,
it.
They find it on a podcast. They find it when you're on a radio show. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever it is, they find it.
Mm-hmm.
And they run with it. So I found it very, very strange that there were 44 paragraphs and a bunch of pictures and a bunch of ads before you got to this. Because this is the hot topic.
Yes.
Because this is New York.
Yes.
Right? This is the Knicks.
Yes.
Who just made it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals and got bounced. And
Kat was their second best player.
And he was their second best player. But that's something that like we always have to remember, especially at the NBA level. Just because you put up points, just because you put up rebounds and assists or whatever, mm-hmm. it does not mean that you're helping your team. Like, there are players who have literally made careers that look so incredible, but if it doesn't impact winning, then you got a problem. Now, the problem that you have, if you're going to make this argument against Kat, it's that he went to the Western Conference Finals last year as Minnesota Timberwolves. He took a completely different team to the Western Conference Finals this year mm-hmm. and the New York Knicks and was a huge part of why they made it there.
Yeah.
Now, there are moments where, again, he disappeared and other moments where he was, you know, absolutely spectacular. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't change the fact that he was a big piece to why they made it all the way to the finals. Mm-hmm. Now, well, all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you also got to the point where they had to put Mitchell Robinson in the lineup. And everyone's like, okay, why are you putting Mitchell Robinson in pulling out Hart? And it's because of this. It's mm-hmm. because they felt like they were leaking at one position defensively and they couldn't get around it. And that's also a problem with a coach who plays five guys 40 minutes every game and a couple of dudes get a couple of minutes.
And it's also a problem when you have Jalen Brunson who tries defensively, but his size is prohibitive on that end. You can't have Jalen Brunson being your number one offensive guy and carrying the offensive workload that he carries and then have a poor paint protector behind him
mm-hmm.
defensively. That's not going to work.
So the reason I mentioned Kat here is because, like, look, when you start seeing stuff like this, it usually is like it's telling you. Somebody is telegraphing what could happen this offseason. Mm-hmm. And the Knicks, as opposed to what I keep saying, is like, look, you should probably just keep this team together and go out and spend $10 million on three different players, not $30 million, but $10 million on three different players that could actually fit into your rotation and help you,
mm-hmm.
right? Again, as opposed to going out and getting a PJ Tucker who's 39 years old and isn't going to step on the court and actually help you, go get some players that might actually help you and who are like, oh my gosh, I could go play for the Knicks who are really good and made it to the Eastern Conference Finals and we could make it to the finals and I could be one of those pieces, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I would do, but there's enough like in this, just this paragraph or two that you're looking around like, okay, somebody said that to somebody. And the reason why they usually say that to somebody is because they're trying to say, hey, look, this is why we lost. So when you trade him, everyone's like, well, we traded him because he's the reason why we lost.
Right, right.
So fan sentiment is already behind you when it happens.
The 44th and 45th paragraphs of that piece in The Athletic has big energy of player X did their media scrum and said, like, yeah, some of our communication defensively, you know, they give the standard answer. And then once the cameras were off and they walked away, they said to Fred Katz, hey, hang on for a minute. Carl Anthony Towns is killing us.
Yeah.
And like, hey, on background, it's Kat.
Yeah.
This is a him problem.
Or they just like quietly just handed him a Kit Kat bar. Said, there you go. You want to know what the problem is? There you go. You're going to break me off a piece
of
that?
Has that ever happened to you? Where a player veiled, throws a teammate under the bus via candy or other means?
By a snack? No. No, but I certainly have seen players get thrown under the bus. And I also will tell you that, like, very clearly, I have had a NBA general manager explain to me this process of
throwing a player under the bus,
player under the bus, and why you see what league wide is known as exit strategies. This is your exit strategy as a Knicks organization, that if you don't want that player anymore, you start sowing the seeds of, hey, this is kind of an issue. This is kind of an issue that everyone needs to look at.
Crank up that value, baby.
Well, it just, now you got him in every trade known to man, and that's where I'd be like, hey, if you're the Kings, you're not good enough to say no to Carl Anthony Towns. Now, are you going to have the same issue? Of course, because that's who he is. But can you hide that issue? Probably not, because the Knicks had some of the greatest wings defenders ever, but that doesn't mean that he can't lead you to an Western Conference Finals.
All right.
Like, it's just a matter of can you get there?
All right. I have thoughts on the Carl Anthony Towns thing. We'll talk about that next. Kat Romano? Maybe. James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen. That's Joe Brazil. We're the Insiders. Jiffy Lube sponsors the program. We'll talk Kings coming up in a second on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, look. I get the Carl Anthony Towns idea. I do. And I get what you're saying, James, is this guy's been on teams that went to the conference finals 2 years in a row. He's been prominent piece on both of those teams. He was the second best player on both teams. I would say at least second best offensive player. I don't.
You're out?
I'm out. Because I don't think you can have a Domas Towns front court, which means you're now probably just doing a Domas for Towns swap. I don't know that that makes you demonstrably better.
Okay, so he's 29 years old.
He is.
He gives you an elite score.
He sure does. He rebounds the hell out of the basketball.
This year, he figured out how to rebound.
Mm-hmm.
He can block some shots. You know, his high for his career is like 1.7 his rookie season, but 1.6. He's right around. He's at 1.2 for his career. Although the last 2 years, he's been playing further away from the basket.
Well, and he's 7 foot and he gets some blocks. Nobody's confusing Carl Anthony Towns for a rim defender.
Or a great defender in general.
Yes.
But you're also looking at a guy who shot 41.6% from three last season and 42% from three this year. and that's on 4.7 attempts per game.
He shoots the hell out of it.
40% three-point shooter on 4.3 attempts for his career. So
calls himself the best shooting big man of all time.
Oh, okay. Well, he must not have watched Dirk Nowitzki play, but that's okay. he can call himself whatever he wants, sure. but Dirk was a knockdown shooter. I don't hate it. And I'm not a cat guy. Like just throughout his career, I'm not a huge fan.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of some of the other things. But I think he's also grown up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The problem might be that you're never going to be a great defensive team with him on it.
Yes.
But I hate to tell people this. The Indiana Pacers are going to the NBA Finals, and they're not a great defensive team.
Sure.
Crank it up. Yeah. Go play. But the problem is, you would still need to find a... Clearly, you'd need to find a point guard to run this thing, and right. All of a sudden, you're putting a bunch of assets, and all of a sudden, you have $100 million a year tied up in your 4 and 5, and then Keegan Murray still got to get paid, and you still got to worry about what the Zach LaVine thing looks like, and you don't still have to worry about what Zach LaVine looks like with Kat, because that's going to be a problem in the same way that Jalen Brunson is, but. The Kings are our team that needs talent. They need to find, you know, star-studded talent. And if there's a way to get Towns, I would at least talk, you know, I would at least consider it, because I think we all understand the Knicks are in a position where, look, they're probably going to try to, go big game hunting. Mm-hmm. They might try to go get Giannis, and that doesn't mean that Milwaukee wants Kat. Sure. There's a possibility that you could be the team that facilitates the trade using draft picks and players.
So you're proposing a version of the Kings that has Karl Anthony Towns and Domantas Sabonis on it.
Yep.
Oof.
I think it can work. I mean, again, I don't think the Rudy Gobert Karl Anthony Towns matchup is the greatest I've ever seen. And they made it to the Western Conference Finals.
No, I agree. But Rudy Gobert's whole thing is defense.
Yeah.
He affects the way teams play offense because they don't want to mess with Rudy Gobert in the paint.
Yeah.
I don't think you're looking at that with a Sabonis Towns front court. I don't think it works the same way. It worked because Towns could space the floor and he and Rudy didn't really get in each other's way, specifically offensively.
Mm-hmm.
I think defensively, you just have massive issues.
Well, of course, but I would rather have massive issues with a player who averages 25 and 10.
Here's what I kind of feel about this. I just jumped into the ESPN trade machine. Sabonis and Carter for Karl Anthony Towns works straight across, and you know how they do the little analysis bit.
Yep.
About how many you have not affected the winning percentage of this team. That's what it says for both.
Yeah.
That's right.
No, I get it. I get it. But, look, you're trying to build something and...
He creates a little bit. He can shoot it.
You could at least see if it works for a year and then move on from one of them if it doesn't. I'm not overly concerned with the fit. I just, you know, is there going to be a huge market for Kat who makes a ton of money? An absolute ton of
49.2
money.
This year.
49.2. But you can come up with a trade that works for that team where they collect a bunch of draft picks,
mm-hmm.
and you give up DeMar DeRozan and Jonas Valanciunas. Maybe Valanciunas works as a big center for them in certain situations. And of course, Devin Carter, and you probably are there financially.
So DeRozan, Valanciunas, and Carter?
Yeah.
According to the ESPN trade machine, that does not work.
But how far off is it?
Kings are over the luxury tax threshold, exceeds what's allowed via the 125% plus 100,000 rule. You need to cut 7.4 from the Knicks. Although I feel like their trade machine is behind.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to guess that's the problem, that their trade machine is just, it doesn't, they would have to do this deal after the new calendar year.
Right.
After July 1st.
New league year.
Yeah, the new league calendar year. Sorry.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he makes $53 million next year, $57, $61. Like, I think there are ways that you could figure out a trade here. I mean, if you've got to include, like, do a Malik Monk, DeMar DeRozan, you know, add another player in. Like, I'm not saying that this is, like, the trade I would go do this season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm also
figuring out ways it works.
Like, look, if you have a front line, if somehow you're able to retain Keegan Murray and Domantas Sabonis, and you have a front line of Keegan Murray, Domantas Sabonis, and Karl Anthony Towns, I don't think you're a bad team. And I think you can add other pieces very quickly. But, like, look, the Kings have to be open to just about anything. And yeah. I know a lot of people are like, hey, why don't you call on OG Anunoby, or why don't you call on Mikal Bridges? First of all, the Knicks aren't trading Mikal Bridges. He doesn't make anything.
Yeah, you can call on those guys for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if the Kings can pry away OG or Mikal Bridges, great.
Yep.
But I think you're right. I think Towns is the player that if they're going to make a significant move this offseason, that's it. Like, that's going to be the one.
Well, no, yeah. If you were going to make that move, it would be like one place. And I don't think that you can... I don't think they would take a LaVine for Karl Anthony Towns trade. I don't.
No, I don't. I don't either.
Yeah, yeah. So that would be a tough one. But like Valanciunas and LaVine, I mean, straight up, and then add draft pick.
And this a little bit puts us. It brings into focus where the Kings are a little bit. Mm-hmm. Where you're either tearing it down to the extent that you can, or you take a big swing for a player like Karl Anthony Towns, and maybe you go, don't love the fit, don't think this is really going to work, but you know what, they got to do something, because we know for a fact that this current group of players doesn't work
well,
and maybe there's some wings you can go get instead, and if those names start coming up in the trade market, then cool. But Giannis is probably off the table.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think... We can talk about this. I don't know that what you'd have to give up to get Kevin Durant would be worth the year that you're going to have Kevin Durant.
Nope.
Which I'm so interested to see how teams handle that this offseason.
Mm.
Like, are they going to fall over themselves and give up major assets to get Kevin Durant for a year?
No, but it's really interesting to hear...
But he's still like, so freaking good.
Brian Windhorst talk about how Kevin Durant, like... 97% won't be on the Phoenix Suns next season.
Right.
And how they've got Devin Booker in on all the coaching interviews, and they've whittled it down from, they had 18 coaching interviews in round one, and then a bunch more in round two. And now they're down to two guys, and Devin Booker's been a huge part of the process, but Kevin Durant hasn't. So that kind of leads you to believe that he's not part of that process either.
Hey, can I take back a take I had?
Uh-oh.
I would way rather have a team do what the Kings did and just go, yeah, this is our guy, and hire that coach than to interview 18 people.
That's the trend of this offseason.
Because at some point you reach, like, you want to do a coaching search.
Mm-hmm.
But ideally, you have your mindset on, okay, three guys. Maybe there's one that's definitely at the top of your list, but then you know what? There's two or three other guys, and you interview four or five, and then you kind of get down to the nitty gritty of the two or three guys you actually wanted, and okay, is this the decision we want to make? I think that's like the ideal. A step below that is, yeah, hey, this is our interim guy. We think he's the guy. We're going to just take him. We're not going to interview anybody. Okay, fine. Then there's a lot of space. There's, I think, six people is the maximum number of coaches you can interview before you reach the level of no idea what we're doing. We're just interviewing people and hoping that something comes up.
Well, that
18 is too many damn interviews.
They all have a plan that they're pitching to you.
Right.
And some of those plans are with Kevin Durant, without Kevin Durant. There's all kinds of different things that, you know, that go into that. But like, I remember when the Kings hired, Dave Yeager, like, mm-hmm. Vlade Divac had nine coaches he brought in, including mm-hmm. some really good coaches, you know, like Frank Vogel was part of that. Nate McMillan was part of that. Then they whittled it down. They had second interviews. They had second interviews with a ton of coaches. Dave Yeager became available on a Friday. They hired him Saturday. They mm-hmm. had him in Sacramento on Saturday. By Sunday, the deal was done. That's how that worked out. So all of these other interviews that you spent time doing for like mm-hmm. 2 or 3 weeks just got literally crumpled up, thrown in the trash, and you hired Dave Yeager. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the way it happens sometimes. Like, there are all kinds of reasons why coaches, everyone was so upset about the way that the Kings hired Luke Walton. And I'm like, well, the last time Vlade got to hire his own coach, this whole process played out. He had interviewed 9 guys, and then someone else said, hey, let's hire Dave Yeager, he's available.
9 is too many. That's 3 above the maximum.
3 above the max. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you. There should be like some sort of streamlined like way that you're doing this, but I think this is the off season of mm-hmm. the interim head coach.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're seeing. Like David mm-hmm. Adelman hired as the interim head coach. The dude in Memphis, which we can't say his
name. Tomas.
Yeah. Tomas, whatever. Like
the Finnish guy.
Yeah, the Finnish guy. Of course, Doug Christie.
Yeah.
And so, like, a lot of times, this is what works.
Yeah, man. I'm inclined to agree with you. 916-909-1320. 916-909-1320 is the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Let's get to E-Biz first. Is E-Biz still there?
Yes, yes, yes.
What's up,
man?
E-Biz?
What's up with y'all?
Chilling, bro.
What's going on?
Oh, for sure, man. What's up, James? Hey, so Kyle, man, I knew about your little concert week last week, man. I know you went to that Kendrick concert. I went to the one in Vegas this past Saturday, man. I've been to so many concerts, bro. That was probably like my favorite one ever. How did you feel about it?
I loved it, and thanks for the call, E-Biz. Appreciate you. I loved it because I went to the Damn Tour as well. And at the Damn Tour, it was Drom and then Travis Scott and then Kendrick. And they just played in a row. Drom did his set. Trav did his set. Kendrick did his set. And I was expecting it to go, SZA's going to come out. She's going to play her songs. And then Kendrick's going to come out and they're going to do 30 for 30 and they'll do Luther and they'll do some of their other songs together. And then Kendrick will play and then they might encore together and just be really standard. But I loved it because Kendrick comes out. He did a really nice mix of stuff from GNX, and then he did a really nice he did a ton of stuff off of Good Kid, Mad City, which I loved. Didn't do full songs, which was a little bit of a bummer, but I loved the way he came out. He did his stuff, then SZA comes out, and they do a song together, and then she plays, and then he comes back out. I loved the mix of the way they intersperse the artists. I like that they did a good mix of new stuff and old stuff. I'm not as familiar with SZA, but I thought Kendrick was awesome. And I like that he still did the diss tracks, but didn't like lean too heavy on them. Like they were there, but they were just part of the set. It wasn't like he played it 10 times in a row or anything crazy. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Energy was really good. Yeah. Shout out to the Kendrick show. Is Javier still there? All right. Javier. What you got, man?
How you doing, Mr. Matson, Mr. Ham? So, hope you had a good vacation, Mr. Matson. So, I had a deal. I think a lot of fans don't realize that, like, if we don't give up either Murray and Sabonis or DeRozan and Sabonis, we're not going to be able to get that wing and that point guard we need in the start lineup. So, I had a 3-team trade. You send Cole Anthony and you send Jonathan Isaac. Well, you send Cole Anthony to the Raptors along with Domantas Sabonis from the Kings, and our 2026 second round pick we got from the Kevin Herter first round pick, that transaction being finalized. The Kings then receive Jonathan Isaac, RJ Barrett, and Emmanuel quickly, and the Magic get DeMar DeRozan, our 2027 second round pick. And why Orlando had to be included, I feel like it's not tenable to send DeRozan back to Toronto with the rapport he had, lack thereof, with their owner. If you guys don't like the Isaac transaction, or acquisition rather, you could just send him to Toronto and reroute Jacopo of the Kings, but I feel like we get a starting point guard in quickly. We get a great, you know, perimeter defender in Isaac. Grant, I don't know if you start, and you get RJ Barrett, who, you know, the one who gave him that extension at 4 years at $100 million, as well as when he drafted RJ Barrett with Scott Perry. I just do not think, unless you said, like, you know, James Hanna, praise you, respectful, your acumen, unless you want.
It's too much. This is too much. Okay. Thanks, Javier. Appreciate the call. Yeah, we got it.
Yeah, we like you, Javier. That's just a long.
I don't think the Raptors want to trade Emmanuel quickly.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
The Raptors are also in a really weird spot where they're not. You'd think the Raptors are a team that's a bunch of like the Rockets, like a bunch of players who are 25 and younger, and they're just not. I don't know.
They've got a young core. I think that they're trying to build something. And the deal with Quickly, I was shocked how much Quickly makes.
Yeah, he got paid.
Yeah, he got paid. He made 32.5 this year, but he makes 32.5 each of the next 4 years.
I wanna latch on to something that Javier said though. He brought up Jonathan Isaac, and forget let's remove the off court stuff from the Jonathan Isaac experience for a moment.
Okay.
I would be, from a basketball standpoint, Jonathan Isaac is the type of player to me that you would not want to involve in a massive trade or like as a massive piece of a trade. That's the kind of player. I think there's a lot of players like this. Zeke Nnaji is another one.
Yep.
Who I think falls in this bucket, where if they're just going to be available and you can get them for a second round pick or a couple of second round picks, and you can get them in your building on the cheap because the team they were on is just kind of fed up with them and doesn't want them around anymore.
Yeah.
And you can take that swing for cheap, cool. But I'm not going to go craft an entire deal around, like, let's make sure we get Jonathan Isaac in here.
Yeah, Jonathan Isaac's days as, like, a valuable option are gone. And, you know, the idea of Jonathan Isaac has always been way better than the reality of Jonathan Isaac. And I've been off the Jonathan Isaac bandwagon for a long time. Mm-hmm. He made $27.6 million this year. His contract drops to 15 and then 14.5, 14.5, and 15. So he's more reasonable right now.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Brett Huff brought this up. Sam Vecini brought this up on his podcast, that he could see the Kings swapping, I think it was Malik Monk and there's draft capital and stuff for Isaac, and the Kings mm-hmm. would get draft capital and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not touching the Jonathan Isaac deal. The only reason you would is that he has a really strange thing in his contract. He makes $15 million this year. If he doesn't play 52 games, mm-hmm. then you can get out of the last 3 years of his deal for $8 million.
Mm.
And then he has different, like, clauses written in about specific injuries, avoid his entire contract. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of weird stuff with Jonathan Isaac's contract.
I just don't want... bringing back in the off-court stuff, I want nothing to do with Jonathan Isaac.
Yeah he's a little
kinda,
odd.
I'm just kind of out. The guy would try, and again, this is just throwing stuff out. This might be something the Raptors have no interest in doing. If you're calling the Raptors about a point guard, though, I would see how they feel about Jamal Shedd.
Mm, okay.
He is a 20... He turns 23 in 3 weeks. He was a rookie last year out of Houston. Averaged, I think, 7 points, and what was he at? 7.1 points, 4.2 assists, playing 20 minutes a night. That's the kind of player that we're talking about. Maybe you don't take a huge swing for like an all-star, but maybe you take a gamble on a player.
Yeah.
That's what I would, if you're calling Toronto and trying to make a deal, that's the player I would ask about first.
Okay.
I get a young player in the building, average 4 assists in 20 minutes a night as a rookie. I would rather take that gamble than going and getting Emmanuel Quickly, who's already 26. Turns 26 in 2 weeks and is making a ton of money.
Yeah. I just don't think he's going to be available.
I would agree with you. But the Raptors are a weird team, so who knows? All right. That's James. I'm Kyle. He's Joe Brazil. We got the handoff with Jesse Tapia. Just KC on D'Lo and KC today. So we're giving KC the handoff off. Jesse Tapia is going to join us in a few minutes. We'll keep talking Kings offseason trades. I want to dig back into the Carl Anthony Towns thing, too, because I had one more thought on that, and we'll get to it. On the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2. Sacramento Sports Leader.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We'll be right back. Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle. He's James. Yeah, Jesse Tapia in here for the handoff in a moment. I'm excited to get Jesse's thoughts on Karl Anthony Towns. Because what I was going to say before we got a little bit sidetracked, my doing, not yours. Welcome in, Jesse, everybody, to the handoff.
What's up, everybody?
Yeah, we have a thing. Okay, relax, everybody. It's just Jesse.
It's time now for the handoff. Taking the handoff from James and Kyle today, here's Jesse Tapia.
Yeah, here he is. All right, we were talking about Karl Anthony Towns earlier, Jesse. First of all, how much did you enjoy watching the Knicks get eliminated?
It's not even like enjoy. It's just like, look where you ended up again. Like, look, you named streets after a second round win or whatever. Congrats. Like I said, you beat the Celtics. For Knicks fans my age, that's the biggest moment of your Knicks lifetime so far.
It's facts.
Like, it's just like you lost, and now I'm excited to watch Pacers and Thunder.
This guy gets it.
That's all right.
I think Karl Anthony Towns, if we're removing Kevin Durant and Giannis from the discussion for the Kings, I think Karl Anthony Towns would be the best player they can get this offseason.
You think?
Yes.
You think better than Ja or better than, like, I don't know if he's going to be available, but better than Ja if he is available, or better than Trae Young?
I think Karl Anthony Towns right now is better than Ja Morant.
Hmm.
I think I would like Ja.
Position
of need. I think Ja would add more wins here compared to Kat.
But Kat's a better... Okay, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm making this too nuanced. Mm-hmm. I just think, like,
better player,
pound for pound, he's the best player they could get. Now, fit, you'd probably... I don't hate the take that you'd rather have Ja than Kat. I don't hate that at all. But I think from a just potential all-NBA perspective, I think Kat would be the dude.
Okay. I
think I'd rather have Trae Young and Ja Morant.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm intrigued by the idea of if you can make a deal like that work, and if the Knicks are going to move off of him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that they are, but if they are going to move off of, I would not be shocked, because where they're at salary wise is crazy, and he's a player who makes a ton of money and just continuously his salary goes up. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't fit what you're trying to do, and you know, like, I think they might have players that they think can step up and do other things. I don't know. I could see them being like, okay, let's just split his contract up into thirds and have a bunch of them, like, expiring stuff that saves us money in the long run, and where the Knicks will be able to get somebody in here to help us.
Would you trade for Karl Anthony Towns, Jesse?
Yeah, if I'm the Kings, yeah. Like, Kat's not my favorite player or anything like that, but the Kings aren't trying to win championships right now. Like, you're trying to get to the playoffs, and Kat can help you do that.
I think that's the caveat that I haven't seen a single person be like, huge Kat guy.
Yeah,
love
I saw
Karl
it.
Anthony Towns. Every single person's like, I don't like him. He's fine, I guess. He's a good player. I just don't like him that much.
I think you're having to move off of Domas, though, to get Kat.
Ooh.
Because what was the deal you guys were talking about earlier, DeMar?
Wilsey said that DeMar, Carter, and Monk works for Kat financially.
Okay.
I know the money works, but I don't get why the Knicks would want that set of players. Like,
I don't quite know either. I think Devin Carter feels like a Tibbs guy.
Oh, yeah, but I think
I don't
that
even
they
know if I'm a Tibbs guy from the New York Knicks, though.
I think they would love Malik Monk there.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, because like, that's kind of what they're missing, a dude who you just know you can, like, throw out there for 27 minutes, mm-hmm. and he's going to give you, like, electric.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think the Knicks are doing that. But I think I'd move Domas for him. If that was a sign.
I don't know. That feels to me.
I'm cool off of playing Domas and Kat next to each other.
Yeah, same. But I don't know. I don't know that does that make you. Does that make you substantially better?
I'd rather have Kat's skill set than Domas's at this point. I think I'm past kind of building around Domas. Like, he's not a top two player on my team. So it's time to move on. I'll take Kat scoring, and I could figure out the rebounding and assist some other way.
That's kind of interesting.
Like, yeah, Domas is not a top two player on anyone's team. He's not a franchise player. None of that stuff. Like, for the Kings, I think he'd be better.
You're just
than
fully out.
Yeah, he's a great player. He's an All-NBA caliber player, but he's not, like, for what the Kings need and what they're trying to build. It's like, yeah, I'm cool right now.
I don't know that if I'm moving Domas's contract, I don't know that Kat is the player I'd want to go get. If that makes sense.
I mean, personally, I'd rather take a couple first round picks and insert player and player for Domas and kind of start a rebuild, but I don't think that's where this is headed.
I don't think it's heading that way either.
Yeah. No. Like, that's personally where I would go, but yeah, like that's not happening.
I don't know.
Yeah, my opinion has always been it's not Sabonis. It's like you got to build a team. Like every team in the league has to build a team. I mean, look at, we're talking about the Knicks because they could possibly shop Cat, but they're looking at like four like star level players, like OG and Anobi. They're paid like stars. They're defensive. They're two way players. Like they have a lot of talent. Like the Kings don't have that talent around Domas, and they haven't.
This is probably a can of worms we can't get into in 6 minutes, but here we go. It feels like, though, his contract makes it difficult to find the players they need to put around him. Like, he's a... The level of player that they need is a little bit higher than his contract allows. Does that make sense? Am I making sense?
You sound like he's kind of... The way he's... Because he's paid... I mean, he was like paid like he was a top guy on this team and all that.
Right.
You kind of have to build around that.
Yes. You have to build as though he's one of your two best guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of. But again, like his contract is not obscene. Like, again, Tobias Harris getting like $39 million a year, that was obscene. Like,
sure.
That didn't make any sense. We're not talking about that level of player.
I'd go get Tobias Harris. I would take Tobias Harris right now.
Yeah.
FYI.
He's aging.
That's fine.
Yeah.
He's 6'8". You can shoot it a little bit.
He can.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I do cat for Domas.
All right.
You can work around it however you want. I do that too.
I just don't. I don't know, man. Karl Anthony Towns feels like one of those guys, and I think there's several guys like this in the league. And there might be more as because we've kind of talked about today, the idea that man, you can't just go get a superstar anymore and be a top three team.
Mm-hmm.
Like the depth is too good in the league. Coaching's too good in the league. The style of play does not lend itself to just, oh, hey, get a superstar and go win now. Like that's just not. So I'm interested to see, like, Karl Anthony Towns is getting paid $50 million, right? And I kind of wonder if teams are going, yeah, but to make money work, we're going to have to kind of gut our team. And we don't think Kat is that dude who's going to really carry us. So we're just not going to trade for him.
Well, here you don't have to gut the team.
Man, I think you're probably.
I like the money works on the DeRozan deal, but I just don't think the Knicks, like, you were just at the Eastern Conference Finals, and now you're going to add a 36-year-old DeMar DeRozan.
Did the Knicks get better if they have Domas?
I think you're at least about the same, and you kind of rework the offense where you're not, like, if instead of just Brunson playing ISO the whole time, you can kind of work it through Domas and all that. You got options at that point.
Do you want?
Like, Domas isn't bad. Domas isn't bad or anything like that, but he can go help out a contender more than he can out here, like here at this point.
I think. But if he can help out a contender, then why wouldn't you just try and do that here?
Because you don't have the guys. Like, you're not adding the New York Knicks around Domantas Sabonis this offseason.
Sure.
Like,
that makes sense.
I think it's easier to build around Cat and kind of an insert player or whatever and just get there with their scoring.
Oh, we were looking at Denver earlier. That's the fun. Like, the ways that certain teams have to try to build right now. Like Denver has no first round pick every other year until 2031. They have no second round pick at all. They don't have a single round pick. They on July 1st they'll get their 2032 second round pick. And if they want to move off of one of the contracts that's hurting them right now, they're going to have to give up that second round pick at least.
Jeez. That's brutal.
Yeah.
That's tough. But the second apron stuff is working.
Yeah.
Like you're already talking Jason Tatum gets hurt, and now it's like the Celtics got to sell everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason.
Celtics got to sell this off.
Anyone want Porzingis? Kings?
No.
Warriors?
No.
No thanks.
Drew Holiday? I've been kind of trying to talk Sacramento out of Drew Holiday for the last 2 weeks, but...
He's...
Talk him into Drew Holiday?
Talk him out, but if you want to take that money, go ahead for the Celtics perspective.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
For the Kings, I don't think you want that.
I think it's funny. NBA Central, at Dunk Central, they posted the odds for the next star to land in Toronto. This is through Bovada.
Okay.
Domantas Sabonis +500. Giannis Antetokounmpo +600. Zach LaVine +600. DeMar DeRozan +800. Three of the top four are Kings players landing in Toronto.
Is Domas number one?
Yeah, I think they have some sort of idea of a trade that maybe works. But that seems really.
And we got the odds on LJ Barrett right now.
Hey, if it's the Javier trade, I'm going to lose my mind.
What was the Javier trade?
I don't know.
Jonathan
Isaac.
Like,
here's the deal. Like, no, we love trade ideas. There's nothing more fun than preparing for a show and seeing somebody, any rando, has a trade idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will take it. If you're going to call in with a trade idea, I need two teams max. And if it's a third team, you go bring in a third team to make the money work. But here's the two main guys three main guys who the trade is around. I can't be having the, like, you include this guy, and if they don't want to include this guy, then this guy, that's too much.
Yeah, and I think, too, we need to have the trade machine pulled up. If it doesn't work through there, then it's just you're cut off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to make sure these things work finally.
Yes.
Not just throwing stuff out.
Absolutely. Anyways.
All right.
Salute. Appreciate everybody who takes time out of their day to call this program. We appreciate it a lot.
Shout out.
Even if the call is too much to keep track of. That's James. I'm Kyle. Jesse Tapia is producing D'Lo and KC. You'll hear a lot of them today. No D'Lo, just KC.
Yeah,
with Jesse.
Hodges will be here. I'll be here. James will be there.
KC and friends.
Yeah, it'll be a
there
good time.
Go.
Can't wait. KC and friends coming up next for James Hammond, Joe Brazil. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. Jiffy Lube sponsors this program. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1320. Until then, drink water. Be nice, people. See ya.